Well, good morning, BCF. It's a delight to be with you this morning. Well, our passage for this morning is continuing in our series in Luke. It's Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. So if you have a Bible, open it up and follow along with me as I read. Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him? And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?' After looking around at them all, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to worship your holy and righteous name. We give you praise this morning. Even though we are separated, we give you praise. We honor you this morning. And Father, we pray now that your word would have its way in our life to encourage us, to equip us, to rebuke us, but ultimately conform us to the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, here we are gathered together this morning, separate but still together. It's so strange that the way we love each other and love our neighbor these days is to stay apart from each other, at least 6 feet apart. Know that during this strange time, the elders have been praying for you. We love you dearly. We long for the day to get back together. I've personally been resonating with the psalmist who asked the Lord, "How long, O Lord?" So I'd encourage you to keep praying for the Lord's mighty hand, his mercy, to put an end to this pandemic. And until then, that all of us would find our strength and our comfort in the sovereign hand of the Lord. I am encouraged that not one purpose of God's will ever be thwarted. And so I fight to rest in that truth. It isn't always easy. Sometimes it can be very hard. But the Lord is the one who can give us our strength and our comfort. And part of the way we continue is we gather on Sunday and we dig into the Word together. And so this morning we're going to look in Luke chapter 6. We're going to learn from this passage. We're going to learn about the Sabbath, some basics about what the Sabbath was. We're going to see that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, not the Pharisees. We're going to see what the real intent of the Sabbath is. And then what are we supposed to do with the Sabbath today as followers of Jesus? So we look in our passage, you'll notice in verse 1 and verse 6, there's two different occasions that happen on the Sabbath. Luke is letting us know this because it's going to spark the anger and frustration of the Pharisees that Jesus is doing things on the Sabbath that they think are wrong and breaking the law. Here in the first section, 1 to 5, it's eating of grain, and they say it's not lawful to do what Jesus and the disciples did, because it's on the Sabbath. So what is the Sabbath? Well, if you go back in Scripture, the first place that we really get a full description of the Sabbath is in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. You can read it in verses 8 through 11. It's the fourth of the Ten Commandments. And here's what the Scriptures read. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So here we have the instruction from God to his people to keep the Sabbath day separate. This comes from the creation account back in Genesis, where in 6 days, God creates the earth and everything in it. And on the seventh day, he rests. So this Sabbath, this creation account and this instruction in the Ten Commandments, it creates both a pattern of work and rest, but it also is setting apart the seventh day, the Sabbath day, as holy, which means it's consecrated. It's to be focused on the Lord, to worship him and rest in him. So from this commandment on the Sabbath, that's really the intent, to honor the Lord, keeping it holy, and then to not work, which means really to rest. So now back to our passage. So the Pharisees, they're the religious, Jewish religious leaders of the day. They're really the keepers of the law. So they're always paying attention who's keeping the law, who's breaking it. So here they are seeing Jesus and the disciples eat grain on the Sabbath. Now here's some background on the Pharisees. Over time, they would add lots of specific rules to God's law, lots of scenarios so that they would make sure they and all of God's people would not break the law. Eventually, all these were gathered together in what's called the Mishnah. Now, in the Mishnah, there's a whole section on the Sabbath, and there are 39 tasks that are listed out in that section that are not allowed during the day of rest. Four of those are reaping, threshing, winnowing, and preparing food. So according to the rules of the Pharisees that were put together ultimately, we know that these four tasks are exactly what Jesus and the disciples did. They gathered the grain, they rubbed it, which is threshing, winnowing, and then they ate it. So they're preparing food. So that's the background of why the Pharisees are so upset that Jesus and the disciples are breaking the law. It's because they added these specifics to the law. Now you notice in Exodus 20, we didn't get a lot of those specifics. God works out some, but not so detailed. But the Pharisees became so zealous in their effort to not break God's law, that they created their own set of rules, and therefore they're really adding to the scripture. They took the Sabbath seriously, but they added all these little requirements. They really forgot the purpose of the law that God gave. The Sabbath was for the benefit of the people to worship God, to refocus ourselves on God, and to rest. The Pharisees had really become what we would call today legalists. They sought to adhere to every possible way not to break the law and really to put themselves in authority over the Sabbath. This is how it got so messed up in their own life, that they missed the intent and purpose that Jesus and the disciples are just eating food. They're hungry and they're eating, and yet they're saying that's breaking the law. And so they accuse Jesus of this violation of the law, and it's setting up this conflict, this continual conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. So we'll get to these two stories and these two passages in a moment, but I think understanding the Sabbath and the Pharisees' view of the Sabbath, it's important to look at verse 5 first. Verse 5 of our passage, Jesus says, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." So the Pharisees accusing Jesus and the disciples of breaking God's law, really they're saying, we know what the law is, and we have put ourselves in a position to decide right and wrong what to do on the Sabbath. So Jesus' statement is revealing that they missed something very specific. We don't see it recorded here in this passage, but if you go back to Mark chapter 2 in verse 27, Mark records that Jesus also said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So this means that the Pharisees really were placing themselves in authority over the Sabbath, and they had forgotten that God had given them the Sabbath for their good, for their blessing. They were now ruling it over people. So here, back in Luke, Luke includes the statement that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. It really is this direct statement against the Pharisees that no, they're not in charge of the Sabbath, but Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And there's two ways that this would really have been a scandalous statement by Jesus. First, when he says the Son of Man, That would take the Pharisees and other Jews back to Daniel chapter 7, which was this prophecy of God and the Son of Man. And so really, it's this messianic meaning to that. They would know what Jesus is claiming to be. And not only that, then he says that he's Lord of the Sabbath. Really, Jesus is saying, I am God. I'm the one who has authority over the Sabbath. You don't, Pharisees, you don't have authority over the Sabbath. And so you don't get to tell me and my disciples if we've broken the law. I make that determination. And Jesus ate and gave his disciples. So clearly, Jesus doesn't think that he has broken the law. So this is important. This is setting up this conflict between the Pharisees and Jesus. Who is the authority over the Sabbath? We know it's Jesus. He is the Lord, not the Pharisees, not anyone else. And so what is the intent then and purpose of the law? If it's to worship God and not work, what is work? What does that really mean? Well, Jesus has two encounters here, two stories that Luke includes that help us understand the real purpose, the blessing of the Sabbath for us, for God's people. The first story, with them eating the grain, Jesus, to defend himself, in a sense, goes back and tells a story about David eating the bread from the temple. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 21. David is running for his life. Saul is after him, so David and his men are running for their lives. They're hungry. They're starving. And he gets to the temple, and he sees the priest Ahimelech, and he asks the priest if he has any bread. The priest says, I only have the bread of the presence, which is holy bread, in the temple, but the men cannot eat this bread if they're unclean, which basically means that they have to have not been with a woman. David assures him they have not been with any women, and so that they're clean and they can eat this bread. And the priest gives him the bread of the presence, this holy bread from within the temple. Now, this is a big deal because this bread was only meant for the priests. The priests were the only ones that were supposed to eat this. So by letter of the law, David is breaking the law. Yet Jesus uses this as an example for why the disciples can eat the grain. Remember, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. So he's using scripture to interpret even his decision to eat. See, David's men were hungry. Jesus' disciples were hungry. And so David asked the priest, they're given the bread from the temple, the holy bread, and they eat. The priest gave him the bread. Jesus, his disciples are hungry. Jesus takes the grain in the field and gives it to his disciples to eat on the Sabbath. It's an incredible story and way that Jesus supports his decision to allow the disciples to eat on the Sabbath because of what David did back in 1 Samuel. The second story happens on a different Sabbath. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, so he has this authority. We know that from earlier in Luke. He's been teaching with authority. People respect him. So he's teaching in the synagogue, and in the synagogue, there's a man with a withered hand. And in verse 7, we see the heart of the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Look in verse 7. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath. Now, this watching is they're not just looking at him, wondering if something's going to happen. No, they're watching him with intent. It really is like spying, like looking out of the corner of your eye, wondering, is he going to do something? They want to trap him, but you can't trap Jesus. There's no way. Verse 8, he knew their thoughts. He knew what their intention was. And he's not going to back down because he's Lord of the Sabbath. He always has the advantage. So Jesus knows the law. He's Lord of the Sabbath. And so he calls over this man and he asks the scribes and the Pharisees about the law. He's asking them, is it allowed to do good and to save life on the Sabbath? And then he does this beautiful thing within the text. After he asked that question in verse 10, he looked around at them all. I just imagine that Jesus, after he asked this question, he looks at every single person in the synagogue in the eye, every scribe and Pharisee. He looks at them. He wants to make eye contact with them. He's going after them. They're thinking they are the authority, but he knows he's the authority. And so he asked them. He looks at them in the eyes and he waits for a response. And there's no answer. They don't give an answer. And so Jesus then, with a word, he tells the man to stretch out his hand. Now notice, he didn't touch the man. He just spoke and the man was healed. So the Pharisees couldn't accuse him now of working on the Sabbath. No, he speaks and the man is healed. We've seen this before, that Jesus has authority. His word has authority. So here are these two stories that Luke includes back to back on different Sabbaths where the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees think that Jesus is breaking the law. He's working. He shouldn't be doing this. Why do we include these two stories back to back? Well, I think Luke, he wants us to understand what the purpose of the Sabbath is. That it is a day that is set apart to be holy for the Lord. And it is for the rest of God's people. But it's also for the good of God's people. Remember, the Sabbath was made for man. The religious leaders were so lost in the old covenant of the law, the old way, they took it too far into massive legalism and they missed the heart of the law. What is the heart of the law? In sum, to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. They do not want this new way that Jesus is bringing, ushering in the kingdom, the new covenant that will be brought about by his blood. They don't want this new covenant. They want to stay in the old, where they're in control. They have authority over others. They're the ones who are lording over people and telling them what is right and wrong on the Sabbath, and all the while missing love of God and love of others. They lacked compassion and kindness and mercy. See, when Jesus tells a story about David and his men, they were hungry. They were perhaps even starving. And so it was good for the priest to give them the food. They needed food. It was an act of love and mercy. It didn't break the law. Jesus reveals that by telling the story. And then he shows the same thing as he gives his disciples grain to eat on the Sabbath. He's not breaking law. He's doing good. He's showing mercy to those who are hungry. Healing on the Sabbath. He heals the man with the withered hand. While the man's life was not in danger, which is the only way the Pharisees would have been okay with it, it was good. It restores his life and it blesses him. Yes, done on the Sabbath, but not against the heart and intention of the law. Jesus is going right after the religious, zealous, legalist, self-righteous Pharisees and scribes. And they don't like it. Look in verse 11. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Fury is a strong word. This is not just really angry. It has the sense of being in mindless rage. Their emotion has taken over. And it's not just that they want Jesus gone. It's that they want him dead. And we know this is against God's law. Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus teaches the Beatitudes, he says this: "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." They're angry with Jesus, and so they are under the judgment of God, just like someone who murders. They don't just want to get rid of him. They want him dead. Now, do you see the irony in this? This is incredible. Jesus feeds the hungry, and he heals the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath. He shows mercy. He gives life. And the zealous, angry legalists want him dead. It's not Jesus breaking the law, breaking the Sabbath. It's the very ones who think they are upholding and enforcing the Sabbath that are breaking the Sabbath. They are so blind by their religious zealousness that they don't see how they want to kill Jesus on the Sabbath. I mean, if they had said this on a different day of the week, on Tuesday, it would be terrible. But they're saying this. They're desiring Jesus' death on the Sabbath. How far are they from God's heart and God's intent and purpose of the law? We need to remember this as an example in our own life, that we want to obey the word of God. The law is not gone. We still adhere to what God says, but we need to be careful that we don't put ourselves in place over others as the authority. We need to be careful to not be like the Pharisees and try and make other Christians adhere to our version of our own little Mishnah. Like how exactly we spend our money, or how we educate our children, or what translation of the scripture we use, or what we wear to church, which everybody's breaking that law right now, aren't we? We're all wearing what we normally don't wear to church, and it's okay because we're gathered to worship the Lord. See, we need to be checking everything by scripture and not adding extra rules in there that God has not. We need to seek the heart of the law, which is to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. God gives us the law, the Sabbath in particular, for our blessing. But if we miss this heart, if we go our own way and try to put ourselves up as the ones in authority over it and try to figure out every little detail, then we will become like the Pharisees. And we'll think there's some kind of formula that exists to please God. That if we just do all of this right, we'll earn salvation. That's what the Pharisees thought. We've got it all figured out. We're going to follow the law perfectly, and we're going to earn God's favor, and we're going to please God. And yet they failed miserably that they wanted to kill Jesus. See, we have no chance in our own self to be able to fulfill the law. We can't do it. We have no ability in ourselves to fulfill perfectly what God wants us to do. And so we're all guilty. And what we need is not to try harder and to find the right formula. What we need is somebody who will fulfill the law on our behalf, who will do what we could not do, so that we could experience the joy of loving God and being free from sin, to serve God and seek to obey his commandments in the power of the Spirit. And we know that one is Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. So what do we do today with the Sabbath? Are we supposed to continue to keep the Sabbath? Are we supposed to follow it religiously? Or are we free? It doesn't really matter anymore. We could do whatever we want. The Sabbath doesn't make a difference. Well, we go back to the scriptures like Jesus did. You go to the scriptures to help understand the scriptures. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 to 19. Paul writes, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." What does that mean? John Calvin summarizes it about Jesus. He is, I say, the true fulfillment of the Sabbath. Christ is the fulfillment of all of the law and the Sabbath. And so we no longer need to keep the Sabbath in order to fulfill the law, to find favor with God, to please God. Christ has fulfilled all of the law. He didn't abolish the law, but he fulfilled the law on our behalf. So our work to try to fulfill the law that God requires to find favor with him, including keeping the Sabbath perfectly, well, that's done. It's fulfilled because we now trust in the work of Christ on our behalf, that he paid for our sin on the cross. He redeemed us, made us right before God's eyes. And when God looks at us, he looks at Christ and he says, "You are mine." We're adopted in to his family. And now we have Christ's righteousness given to us, imputed to us. And so we are holy before the Lord. So we're no longer under this slavery of trying to fulfill the Sabbath in some way to please God. No, Christ obeyed it perfectly. And so now we rest in Christ. The writer of Hebrews says, "So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God." Our Sabbath rest is found in Christ. So if you are in Christ, he fulfilled the law perfectly for you. He obeyed the Sabbath perfectly as the Lord of the Sabbath. And so you no longer need to find favor with God. God loves you because of what Christ has done. And yet, the law is not abolished. We still have many rules and standards from God that God wants us to obey. Just read Matthew 5 through 7, and you'll see Jesus teach all of these moral obligations that we have as followers of him, done in the power of the Holy Spirit. But what do we do with the Sabbath? If we don't keep the Sabbath to earn favor with God, do we still adhere to the Sabbath? Is there still a blessing to man with the Sabbath? Well, I think there is. I think there is. We learn from the early church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, well, you could go there and read, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread. So the early church, after Jesus has ascended and gone to be with the Father, they're gathering together on the first day of the week, their Sabbath, it's Sunday. And for the Jews, they would have been observing the last day of the week. Saturday was the Sabbath for the Jews. But now the early church gathers on Sunday, what we would call the Lord's Day. Why? Well, it's because the day that Jesus rose from the grave. He was crucified and killed on Friday, buried in the ground, and then he rose from the grave, conquering sin and death on a Sunday. And so the early church gathered to celebrate, to set that day apart as holy, to worship God, to focus on God, to be renewed spiritually and even physically with God. So we still keep the Sabbath in a sense. We still gather together to worship the Lord on the Lord's day. It's why the scripture teaches us to keep meeting together, because this day, the Lord's day, was made for us to gather together to worship God and to find rest in God, to praise Him, to in a sense recalibrate our hearts and mind, to be rejuvenated spiritually and physically, and to serve Him in a way that we may not normally be able to serve the rest of the week. One theologian said, on the day of rest, man should so disentangle himself from ordinary activities that he may be able to serve and glorify God to the best of his ability. See, it's not to fulfill the letter of the law to please God. We have that in Christ. It's now to follow this blessing that God has given us, to disentangle ourselves from the ordinary things of life so we can come and gather together and worship God and serve Him and others to the best of our ability. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't cut the grass or send an email. But it does mean that the Lord's Day, our Sabbath, is a day to focus on the Lord and to care for others. I think we see that care for others as the example here in Jesus, that he feeds the disciples on the Sabbath because they're hungry. He heals the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath because he needs to be restored. So most of us, we work throughout the week. We go and we fulfill these jobs God has given us as part of our way of serving Him and glorifying Him and benefiting other people. But we're not able to serve the Lord and focus on the Lord like we could on the Lord's Day. See, this is His gift to us, that we gather together and we spend extra time on a Sunday worshiping Him and then spending the rest of their day serving Him in some way, blessing people. And so what does that look like? Well, it may mean that you choose, maybe after the pandemic, that you would go visit the sick. You would go meet with them and pray for them. That you would spend time gathering extra food to give to the food pantry, to feed the hungry, or give food to a neighbor that's in need. Or maybe it's to serve your neighbor by cutting their grass that day or doing something around their house they're not able to do. Maybe it's just calling up a friend who's brokenhearted, that you haven't had time during the week because of work and family obligations, but you pause on Sunday and you reach out and you say, how are you doing? Let me pray for you. Let me encourage you. It's a day of rest, yes, so you can enjoy a nap, but it's not just a day for me. It's not just a day for me to do what I want to do. It's a day that I give up my life to glorify God and to serve others. And in that giving up, I rest. I find my hope and my rest in Christ. Remember, Jesus asked the question in verse 9 of our passage, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or to destroy life? I mean, I think one of the things we're learning during this time, while we can't meet together, is how important it is to gather together as the people of God. As I look at empty chairs, I just wish you would be here. I want to be with you. It's not always easy on a Sunday, but we want to be together to encourage each other, to refocus our hearts and minds on the Lord, and then to serve Him that day. We need to gather together. We need to gather together to worship God. We need this day to rest spiritually and physically even from the difficulties of life, the struggles of life. And I'm praying when this season of quarantine is over, that we would really be asking ourselves, how can I make this day a priority? How can I fight to make sure no matter what, I gather with the people of God and I spend the day worshiping Him and serving Him by serving others? We make sure that we're here. We use this day, the Lord's Day, as God intended, as a blessing for us. I hope that as you're not able to be with all the brothers and sisters of BCF, that you feel that ache in your heart and that you long to be together. One day we will gather together. And every week we will gather together. And it's a foretaste of what will happen one day when Christ returns and gathers all of us to Himself. And we will then be together every day, fully in our Sabbath rest. Until then, we meet on the Lord's Day. And as Philip Ryken said, it's a day for preaching and practicing the gospel. It's a day for giving all the service to God that we were unable to give the rest of the week. So while we're apart, let's not stop meeting together. And when we're able to meet together once again, let's treasure this time of worship that we have on the Sabbath. And let's worship God. Let's encourage one another and serve Him and our neighbors. All for the glory of the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we praise You for Your word that even though we are separate, we're united in Christ because of what He has done on the cross for us. Father, we thank You for the example Jesus gave of these two acts of love and mercy on the Sabbath to show us the intent of Your blessing us with the Sabbath. Father, help us to make this day a priority for us, that You've given it to us as a gift. So help us to prioritize it, to gather together, and then to serve You and serve others. Father, help us to disentangle, even today, from the cares of everyday life, to focus on You and to enjoy You today. We pray Your blessing on Your people today, Father. Would You shine Your face upon them, and would You be gracious to them, and would You give Your peace to them? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.